Everything Astros related is just going to look worse in hindsight, no matter what. Welcome back to the Intentionally Foul Podcast. Nothing in sports is off limits. Everything's out of bounds. Don't forget to like and subscribe on whatever you're listening to. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. It's fucking gorgeous down here. It's like 75 degrees. No clouds in the sky. Man, what else could you ask for?
Really couldn't ask for much more. But we got the NBA finals coming up here.
Yeah.
Big matchup. But before we get talking about the NBA finals, we're going to go over a few more things. First is going to be the worst jerseys that we've ever seen in sports. Mm-hmm. And next is the NFL Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
So, jerseys. Oh my God. This hurt my eyes.
Hold up. Before we start here, I got to go and I got to give a quick MLB update. So the MLB playoffs start and the Twins face the Astros. Hopefully there's not enough trash cans in the fucking dugout and the Twins kick the Astros' ass because, you know, we all say fuck them.
I think that a win for the Twins is a win for America.
Yes, 100% agree. All right, let's go to the uniforms.
So, worst uniform. The first one is going to come as a surprise from me, I guess, because I'm picking the Celtics and their black jerseys, their black and green ones. You'd think that on paper, if you said black Celtics jersey, it'd look nice, but there's definitely a reason they don't wear them as much anymore. They still do sometimes, and new ones look better, but the old ones are just like a complete eyesore. And that's the one problem I've always had with the Celtics until this most recent year when they did their city jerseys, the Irish looking ones. Those look cool, but as far as their other jerseys go, I don't know, there's not much that I like.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they definitely came back and did a better jersey design and like really made up for like the black jerseys.
Yeah, it's crazy how adding a General Electric logo and a Nike logo can just change everything.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
It's kind of nuts.
All right, I have one here. This is not going to come as a surprise for me, but the 1929 Packers throwback, ugliest fucking jerseys, dude. The navy blue with the yellow circles and the brown helmet with the light brown pants. Probably the worst thing. I can't believe they still like wore them into the 2010s.
Yeah, I mean, Packers in blue just doesn't really click.
Yeah, you know? It was pretty gross.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. So hopefully they just throw those in the trash and we never have to see them again. Next up, I got another basketball one here. The Toronto Raptors camo jerseys. This was, I think, in support of the Canadian military, probably, and they had a, you know, Canadian flag patch on their back, yeah. Which is a nice concept, but, like, the Packers in blue, the Raptors in camo is just, where'd that come from?
Yeah. I know you may feel indifferent about this one, continuing with camo, but the Spurs camo necessarily isn't the best, because it looks like it's all one piece, kind of like a leotard. Like, yeah. I don't know. I get why the Spurs did camo, especially down in San Antonio. But it just doesn't look as good as other... Like, camo should not be on sports jerseys, period.
I agree with you there. And what's funny about this one is I was a big fan of it when they first introduced it. I was like, oh my God, the Spurs are switching up their jerseys because they don't have too many alternates. I would know from playing 2K, of course, but I never select the camo jersey anymore when I'm playing with the Spurs because it just kind of wore off. You know, that it's not as hype anymore, but I feel like they might make the effort to do a revision in the future.
Yeah, I think that they could definitely improve on it for sure.
Right. And my first football one that I got... This one is the Steelers throwback, the Bumblebee jerseys.
The ones that looked like jail?
Yeah. Those are bad. And, like, the Bumblebee stripes were bad enough, but, oh, man, why did you put, like, each number in blocks? Why?
Dude, I don't know. It looks so bad. Like, okay, if they put the numbers, like, say there's, like, 25 or something like that, right? Because they only wore it, like, during a certain amount of time. And it's Le'Veon Bell. If they put 25... all together in one white box instead of two separate boxes, I think it might look a little better, But this just doesn't, because of the white boxes make it look like it's like jail numbers.
Right. And the crazy thing about this jersey is they were wearing them during their peak years with, you know, AB and Lev Bell and Big Ben. So I'd be watching them and I'd just see Ben just throw this fucking bomb to AB and he'd, you know, make a sick play. But then I'm like, oh, I mean, it would look a lot cooler if you weren't wearing that jersey. Too bad.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of that, we got one that doesn't really like fit in at all. The Eagles throwback. The one that's like baby blue and like yellow.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my God. That is the worst eyesore I have ever seen on a jersey.
It's pretty bad. The Eagles and blue, just hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
That's bad.
Next up for me, I have another stripe one here. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs striped hockey jerseys, and everything I said for the Steelers could be applied for this. They look like pajamas instead of like, they look like a mix between pajamas and, you know, a jail outfit.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that one.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my God. Oh my God. Peep, pee and poop. This is all I think of when I think of this jersey. Jacksonville Jaguars color rush.
Oh yeah.
Pee and poo.
What the fuck were they thinking?
Dude, it looks so bad. There's only one person in this entire world that can pull off that kind of color, and his name is Dwight fucking Schrute. The Jaguars cannot pull off that pee and poo color.
Yeah, and it just sucks when you have a bad team with some bad jerseys. The Steelers, they could get away with it with their jerseys, but because they were pretty damn good. But geez, Jacksonville, come on, you gotta fix something there,
dude. Speaking of pee and poo, I got another one just like that. Remember when the Broncos like wore like yellow, like gold jerseys, and then like brown pants with like brown and yellow socks?
Yeah.
Dude, that one was pretty bad.
Yeah, that one was rough for sure. What reminds me of yellow when you say that is the Warriors jerseys. They were like, this is back when the NBA had sleeves on their jerseys, mm-hmm. Right? I don't really know why they did that, but
it was only for like two seasons.
Yeah, it was very short lived, and for good reason, because not many teams were able to pull it off. But this is back when David Lee was on the Warriors, you know, 5-6 years ago, mm-hmm. And their jerseys also kind of look like pajamas for this one. Like pajama pants, just like a shirt that you, a V-neck sleeve shirt that you might wear to sleep. I don't know. But as soon as Curry started popping off and becoming a franchise player, they made some really good adjustments.
Yeah.
Their jerseys now look nice.
Can you imagine if they didn't change? I feel like Curry would have left. Just out of the lack of swag that the Warriors team would have.
Yep, calling up KD in the parking lot. Oh, no. Okay, the jerseys? Yeah, we can't do anything about that. Better we'll try again next summer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But my final jersey here is the Pittsburgh Pirates pirate jerseys.
Oh, bro.
You just got a huge photo of the pirate on your chest, and you have the red base, you know, black and yellow sleeves. I mean, they at least got the color scheme right, but come on, man. The pirate is way too big on the front.
Yeah, I read something about that. That was supposed to be like the brand new generation of jerseys, and it just flopped.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That would have been so bad.
Yeah. I know baseball is, they're pretty consistent with their jerseys, but it's tough territory, because if you try to switch anything up, something just might go wrong.
Yeah, dude, I think of like one in hockey, Vancouver Canucks in the 1980s. They had like this black jersey with a yellow and I think it was like orange or red V in the middle, and it looks so bad. They wore it for a long time, like for at least 5 or 6 years.
That's rough. I don't think I've ever seen those, actually. I'll have to look that one up. Jeez. Let's see what we got here. What the fuck are they thinking? All right. Well, I mean, if you don't wear it anymore, you'll learn from your mistake.
Yeah, true. I got two more.
All right.
Back in 1976, the Chicago White Sox tried to do something completely different. Never heard of. They wore shorts. They had jerseys that had shorts. Yeah. And it just looks so bad. It looks like a polo outfit.
Baseball and shorts. Okay. I'm gonna have to look this one up too. Hold on. And ew, that's disgusting. I could not. It looks like they're playing soccer.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? All right.
That one's bad.
That's trash. That's trash. Let's never bring that back ever again.
Then I got one more final one. This one makes me feel like I want to drink. Houston Astros tequila sunrise jerseys that they wore from 1975 till like, I think 93 or something like that. Like, arguably, like, people are on the fence of this. Either it's really dope or it looks like ass. And a lot of people think it looks like ass. And I would tend to agree.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I mean, everything Astros related is just going to look worse in hindsight, no matter what. I mean, your championship looks like shit. Like, of course, your shitty jersey is going to look like shit. Makes sense. All right, next up, we have our Mount Rushmore series. And this time, we're going to talk about some people in the NFL. So, for me personally, I got a QB, I got a coach, I got a running back, I got a receiver.
Okay.
And this one was kind of hard, but I chose Peyton Manning, actually.
Okay.
I did choose him over Brady because if you look at the efficiency, Peyton Manning does lead. And if you want to look at like pure dominance over a certain point, I'd say Peyton Manning probably had the most dominant run that we've ever seen from a QB in our lifetimes when he was on the Colts in the mid-2000s or so.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I do like Brady's contributions, and I think it really helped make New England what it was during that same time period. But it's just, you just had a little better coaching, you know, a little more to work with on a team. But yeah, I got to give respect where it's due to Peyton. Next up for my receiver, got Jerry Rice. Some people would say he's the greatest football player of all time. I mean, that's hard because there's so many positions. But for the receiver position, to me, this is just like no question. No question. And then I was just mentioning Belichick before a little bit. But yeah, Bill Belichick. I think there have been a lot of great coaches in sports history, football history, everything. But Belichick, he's kind of stuck around for so long. He's done it all. He knows football like the back of his hand. The plays he calls are unreal. His clock management, unreal. Player development, unreal. You really can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
And then finally, because so many of you guys got pissed off at me a few weeks ago for not putting Barry Sanders on my list. Barry Sanders for the running back.
Okay. I actually split this up into players. Players first and then coaches, but I'll put them together right now. So I'll pick Tom Brady. And then I actually picked Randy Moss. Normally, I would pick Jerry Rice, but just from like where I'm from and being like a hardcore Vikings fan, I picked Moss over Jerry Rice, even though Rice has like the higher accolades and stuff like that.
Yeah, with Moss, it's more like a peak kind of play. Like, I feel like maybe Moss in his peak was better than Jerry at his peak, but Jerry just has the longevity records too.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah, I mean, shit, Jerry played in like at least 5 more years, I think.
Yeah.
And then Lawrence Taylor as like the defense special teams guy. And then, this is hard. Either Don Shula or Bill Belichick for the coach. I'm probably going to go Shula just because like the Dolphins in the 70s was just so dominant. I mean, it's comparable to the Patriots in the 2000s, 2010s.
Yeah, I know that Shula and Belichick do get their, you know, fair amount of comparisons because of just insane regular seasons they've had.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got nothing wrong with that. Lawrence Taylor's a good pick.
Yeah.
A good pick.
I mean, he's probably the best defense player of all time. I mean, Deion Sanders would probably say otherwise. But, yeah, LT is like the GOAT.
Right. We can't credit the Cowboys on this podcast. That's just a rule we have.
Yeah, except for the numbers.
Very true, very true.
Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. We've downloaded it on our phones, and it's probably one of the smoothest fantasy sports apps we've ever used.
They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top-tier athletes in a respective sport.
for the NFL, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup.
In NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup.
Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur.
The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is.
Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool.
For PGA, Thrive has new contests each day of the tournaments, so don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut.
Even better, you can win a lot of money. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018.
Use promo code FOUL20 when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more.
Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com.
Or hit the link in our description.
Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
All right, so now we're into our NBA Finals preview.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, here we are.
This shit started yesterday. By the time we're recording, it will have started yesterday.
Right. Personally, I'm just going to get out of the way, and I think the Lakers will do this in 6 games.
Yeah.
Just because if you look at their previous matchups versus the Heat, they tend to play really well. LeBron and Anthony Davis both combined for 56 points per game on average the 2 times they met the Heat in the regular season. Lakers won both times. The only Heat player to average over 20 points per game during those 2 matchups was Jimmy Butler. And Danny Green actually was not playing like shit against the Heat. I think Danny Green's a lot worse since the bubble started, but he really needs to just give some production. His shots are actually so bad that when it hits the back of the backboard on a shot, the team will just catch it and then start a fast break.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that. So I do think the Heat have gotten a lot better since that matchup, though, which I don't think it's going to be easy for the Lakers or the Heat whatsoever. We might be looking at a classic here for all we know.
Yeah, it could be one of the best finals. I mean, they're both coming in super hot. You know the Lakers have unfinished business. They're going to try to win this for Kobe. The Heat are just built like they're good from point guard down to center. And, you know, the Lakers have LeBron and AD, but they don't have, like, the solid lineup as the Heat do.
Yeah, with each team, I like this matchup because there's no super team here. You know, we're so used to seeing the super team in the NBA Finals. And the Lakers, people always say, oh, who's the third option? Is it Rondo, Kuzma? It's neither of those guys. It's just LeBron and AD doing their thing.
Yeah.
It's nice to see just 2 really good players again doing their thing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, somebody predicted this Finals. In 2016, I saw a tweet. This guy said, man, I can't wait for the Heat-Lakers Finals in 2020. And he tweeted it in 2016.
That's nuts. That's nuts. That could have been a drunk tweet, or it could have not been. Either way, you hit the nail on the head with that one.
Dude, that's some Illuminati type shit.
Yeah. NBA's rig confirmed.
Dude, it's pretty crazy also that, like, Haslam has been in all 6 of the Miami Heat's franchise finals appearances.
Right. He's Mr. Miami. He born and raised Miami.
Yeah.
He, what's crazy, I remember looking at an interview of Udonis Haslam and it was Mike Miller because they both played in Florida.
Yeah.
Like University of Florida. And Mike Miller even asked him, hey, you a Gators fan? Are you a Miami Hurricanes fan? And he still said the Hurricanes.
Damn.
Just because of Miami. And then he got to play for the Heat, won 3 titles with them, all-time rebounding leader. I'm just happy for the guy. I would not be surprised if he just retired after this season, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's fucking crazy how he stayed on one team his entire career. And, like, he's not, like, a big name, you know. Like, earlier in the 2000s, he was a decent name. But now he's, like, 40 years old, fucking playing for the same team that he started with. Very legendary. Speaking of legendary, LeBron. Dude, 10 finals appearances by himself. More than 27 franchises. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And I really think that when people put the record into context, like, that's, you're going to find a lot more that you like about LeBron as a basketball player. Because, look, those Warriors teams, I mean, did he really even have a shot with KD? You know, I mean, the Cavs matchup the first time when Kyrie and Love were out. I mean, name a finals champion where two of the top three players are out. You can't do it. So I'm not going to knock any of those against him, but I think that he's just here to kind of improve that record and then just let people know, like, yeah, I'm still the best player in the world.
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy. Like, the fact, and the, it's crazy. I just can't even, like, fathom that a player has that.
Yeah, and I mean, you're doing it as the best player on all those teams, too. Like, yeah. I mean, I get people who coast to rings and all that, but LeBron has been the best player on every one of those teams that made the finals.
Like, at the beginning of his career with the Cavs, he carried those motherfuckers. Dude, the only good player on those team was Big Z with him. And Big Z wasn't even that good.
Yeah, Big Z was, like, maybe borderline all-star at best. I don't know, like, maybe, but he had to go against the Popovich Spurs in their prime. Yeah. Like, Ginobili, Parker, Duncan, they were all just balling at that point. I don't want to count that one against him either.
Yeah.
The only one I would really count against him is 2011, but that's because the Heat were still trying to figure shit out. I mean, they didn't know if D-Wade or LeBron was going to be the number one guy, but other than that, it's pretty incredible what he's done. And also with that, so many narratives revolve around LeBron because I don't know what the NBA is going to do when he retires. The whole reason that people really care about this finals is A, it's LeBron and the Lakers, and then B, he's playing against his former team.
Yeah.
You know, the Warriors, they were formed to stop LeBron. Mm-hmm. The Raptors with Kawhi, they did that trade because LeBron left the East. Like, it all revolves around the guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. I don't. It's just going to feel weird when he's not in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even show like he's slowing down.
Yeah. A underlying note about this finals is that Tyler Hero is now dating Kyle Kuzma's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, shit.
Do you think some shit's going down?
Some shit's going down? Oh, man. Depends on who broke up with who.
I don't know. I feel like probably the girl broke up with Kuzma to go with Tyler Hero. I mean, Tyler Hero, dude, over Kuzma?
Come on. I mean, she's in the bubble right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's going to be
some bad blood.
It's going to be awkward.
Let's just quickly talk about Andre Iguodala making his sixth straight finals appearance.
I believe so, yep.
Six. I mean, look, we talk about LeBron making eight straight and all that, but six for Iguodala just like doing his job, like getting minutes, like that's still pretty impressive in itself.
Yeah. I mean, hot take right here. Hot take warning. Iggy's going to get blocked by LeBron this finals again.
Can you imagine if it was reversed? People would literally lose their shit.
Dude, I'm calling that shit right now. That's my hot take. Fuck that.
Yeah, Iguodala, he's going to have to really, you know, step up with the defense. He's still got some good defense in him, you know, because even though he's old, he still is a genius when it comes to defense.
Yeah.
Watching him play. Looking at the coaches, Frank Vogel, this is his first finals appearance, and I think he's gotten pretty lucky having LeBron and AD on his team. So Spoelstra is obviously the better coach in this situation. You could make the argument that, I mean, well, once Pop leaves the NBA, that Spoelstra might be the best coach. I think he just knows everything. His rotations have been pretty much flawless. The player development has been amazing, especially with so many young guys on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he, let's not forget, he coached LeBron before. He spent 4 years with LeBron. He's going to know some shit about him.
Yeah. I mean, definitely agree with you that Spoelstra is by far the better coach. Spoelstra is a fucking genius, dude. Like, I would trust Spoelstra over almost any coach right now in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with that. He's going to retire with the Heat. He's like the Popovich of that franchise, you know? Like, they're both just going to stick with it. It's great because Spoelstra was an assistant back in the mid and late 90s.
Yeah. He's a video coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, he went from that to being head coach of four NBA finals. Like, just think about it. When LeBron left, Pat Riley, we also got to give a shout out to Pat Riley, because when LeBron and Chris Bosh basically left, then Pat Riley never really like rebuilt. It was kind of like we're trying to be successful every year regardless. And you got to give major props to Pat Riley because like he's probably one of the best GMs of all time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. With the Heat right after LeBron left, I mean, I get what they were trying to do because Bosch, he had the blood clot thing, and you can't really like predict something like that. So that is like just a huge roadblock. I don't really know how anyone could get over that. And then Wade was fizzling out a little bit, but what he tried doing by, you know, bringing in as many good pieces as he could to keep the team relevant, it worked out really well. And they gave D Wade a nice farewell tour before, you know, he retired. And because of that season, they got Hero.
Yeah. So who do you think has the best bench to back up their starting lineups?
Honestly, see, the Lakers bench is just, when they're hot, they're a huge difference maker. Yeah. But I think they're too inconsistent to be considered the better bench. I think the Heat bench is, they get their job done more consistently and efficiently, but at their peak, it doesn't come close to how the Lakers are at their best on the bench.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, you know, when like Rondo shows up and when Caruso shows up, Kuzma shows up, like they are a completely different team compared to when the bench plays like garbage.
Yeah. And what's nice about the starting lineup on the Lakers is LeBron and AD are always going to play great. You know, so they always got that. I cannot imagine how different that team would be, even if LeBron and AD were playing at 80% their best the whole season. I think it'd be a lot different because when that whole team gets cold, oh my God, it's bad.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
But yeah, shout out to the Lakers bench and Alex Caruso. Can't wait to see him fall out.
Yeah. So what is your prediction again?
I'm going to go with the Lakers in six on this one. I think it's going to be a tough battle, but LeBron, he gets better every game.
Yeah.
And as the playoffs go on, he gets better and better and better, and we still haven't seen the best from him yet.
Mm-hmm. I would also say Lakers in six. I think that the Heat are going to push the Lakers to their limit, and the Lakers will prevail. I wouldn't be surprised if this goes to seven, but I think the Lakers will win it in six.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And along with the in six prediction, I think one of those games will go into overtime.
At least
one game will go into overtime. I don't see this being a no overtime finals at all. I think this is really one of the best matchups we could ask for ever since we heard the NBA was coming back.
Yeah, I think that this was destined. I know a lot of people were picking the Bucks versus the Clippers. But if you're thinking about it, we still get an Antetokounmpo versus a Leonard finals matchup.
Yeah, and I would rather see this one. I never thought I'd say it. But yeah, I'd rather see these two. Yeah, as far as the rest of the teams go, I mean, Denver, man, I'm never going to forget the 2020 Denver Nuggets, ever. I think they could win a championship in the next 4 years or so. They got a good core to build around, and they got a great coach in Mike Malone, Jokic, and Murray. Jamal Murray's leap in the bubble reminds me of Curry back in like 2013 when he was really coming to his own. He's going to be scary.
I'd agree with that. I mean, it's pretty crazy that like the amount of jelly that fucking Jamal Murray had in the bubble, especially the playoffs, like with his 360 layup, like the fucking MJ-esque fucking layup he just did like last week. Crazy.
Right. I really think that Jamal Murray breaking out in the bubble is one of the top three things that has happened since the NBA came back. Mm-hmm. And along with that, with Jokic, I think that he did his job too in proving that. I personally think that right now he's the best center in the NBA. Because whenever it gets crunch time with this guy, he's just stone cold. He goes Super Saiyan. And he makes insane shots.
Yeah.
Whenever it's close. I mean, the Nuggets in general, they go down 3-1 and they start laughing.
Yeah.
Scary.
That's kind of like a killer mentality.
Yeah.
That's some shit.
I mean, his nickname is the Joker, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He's a psychopath.
Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram at Intentionally Foul. Shout out of the week goes to the Daily Dribble. Speaking of NBA, they are the perfect people for your NBA and basketball content. Go give them a follow. Go to our most recent Instagram post and share it to your story. And don't forget to tag us. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.